Parnas Achaydish, Penny Schwartz, the family, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Rocha Gittel, Bas Natali, and Shom Shavili, and Ali Simcha, Naches, and Vracha. Okay, we're going to talk about war, Milchama. Page Chav Ches in Bayom Da'akecha. We've learned in the past that even the word lechem, bread, is connected to the word milchama, war. It means that when we eat, we're at war. And what are we fighting over? What is the milchama b'shas ha'achila? So on page Chav Ches, Gimel Hamilchama. Behine. Kichol Shamaila Sahila Higidoila. Bisman Godvotsum. Eating is a great time, it's a special time. Shabuha Adam is Chabad Makrechi Yuso, which is what we were learning last week. Is that the inyan of the Nitzaitis HaKadosh, that a person is mischaber, a person is recognizing that he's attached to the makar of his life, the makar of his chiyas. That Hashem made us in such a way where we're dependent upon Hazanus Olam Kulo B'tuva B'chein B'chesed V'achemim. And that Hashem enclosed that chiyas and the food that we're eating. So we're actually swallowing that chiyus of Elokus, the SSAs, in a great way. V'yochaliskos b'zel advekas atzum v'Hashem Yisbarach. And achil was an opportunity for the tzaddikim and for people even like us to achieve a advekas v'Hashem. Kach zelum hazeh. It's always zelum hazeh, as great as achila is, and as much of an eis rotzen it is eating. The yetzahara is at war with a person's recognizing the chashivas of achila, remembering Hakadosh Baruch Hu at the time of eating. And the Yetzer wants to prevent there from being this state of Dveikus. Therefore, the Zohar teaches us that the time of eating, thank you, is a time of battle, of war. The Milchama is against the Klipas. Or in a very, very simple way to understand, it's a Milchama between the Neshama and the Guf. It's a very strong Milchama. The klipas are trying very much to conceal, to hide from the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'chein heimis amtsim, ligroim la'odam, lachshav al achelik hagashmi b'lvad. The time of eating, the klipas are working very hard to hide Hashem, that the person should only be thinking about the chelik hagashmi, about the physical pleasure, the act of eating itself. There's somebody that, unfortunately, somebody in my mishpacha was telling me that she hasn't tasted anything since last year. She had COVID and she has one of these situations that's lingering, and she hasn't tasted anything. So we were at a simcha, and she was eating like some spare ribs or something. So I asked her, then why don't you just have bread and water? You don't taste anything. You save money. You save a lot of, I'm not talking about the chasna, but you could save a lot of money. And like, you know, women are very conscious of their weight all the time. And, you know, so why bother? You don't taste anything. So she said to me, Chotcha, Kenzan Epis. She said, maybe something will come through. You know, during this Achila, maybe Epis something will come through.
The remembering She'll remember the taste, even though she doesn't taste.
You're sitting eating. So you'll eat a piece of layer cake or something.
Just the memory of it.
Yeah, and you don't taste it. You don't taste it. I said, I mean, it should pass soon. Everything should be well. But in the meantime, she just has bread and water. Like, what do you need to indulge all this stuff? She says, maybe it'll come through. A little bit something will come through. It's interesting. But that's all the Yetzer wants, is that a person should be fixated on the Chelek HaGashmi. And to forget that at this moment, your mamas, the beneficiary of Hashem is Baruch, reaching out his hand and feeding you, and giving you to eat, and feeding you. Mamas giving you chiyus, giving you life, giving you a dose of himself. V'avodeseinu he, and the avode is legalus shakol ze rak or Hashem is Baruch. The avod of eating is to be victorious in this milchama, in the battle, and to reveal, to remember, shakol zerak or Hashem esbar. That it's only or Hashem esbar. Ulahovan or lahargish, shema shenire beinayim, and to be able to understand and to feel that which you see with the eyes, ki'ilu yesh lo'ochel tam atzmi, as if the food is something which exists on its own, and it has its own taste. Zelonochon, it's not true. Ella ha'emesi sha'chiyas v'atam hemraka or eloki bilvad. The chiyas in the food, the taste of the food, is or ha'eloki bilvad. Ella shumachusa, however it's covered. Lamedches, the note Lamedches. V'zoma shekosu v'asvar makadoshim sheba'achila sarach lagalus l'harmas ha'shchina kadosha. Which we see in this form, that when you're eating, one has to reveal and to lift up the Shechina. What does that mean? So Shechina hi kinui l'or Hashem Shbarach. Shechina means the light of Hashem. Ech shu niru mezgala kan. As it is seen and is revealed here in this world. B'tachtarim ha'nevroim. L'chein, therefore, kol inyin achiyas elokish sheba'ochel, nikra al-shem ha'shechina. Therefore, the presence of Hashem, the chiyas of Hashem, is called Shechina. Because the pnimius of food is an or eloki that's mislabish and clothed and revealed in all that exists. Rabbi the same hila galus ashchina kadosha, and the avod is to megala es ashchina kadosha. The haim lo galus shakisuyim hamagushamim, to reveal that these kisuyim hamagushamim, these the physical coverings, shenir leinaim sheish bem tam v'koach. That to our eyes, it seems to us that they have an independent time and koach. Ein mamis is not true. Venkan ella.
Sorry, I can't.
Thank you, Sky. Ein mamis. Venkan ella es or Hashem es baruch hapnimi. Just or Hashem hapnimi. Shua emes. V'kol achitzaynius ein elulish. Now we're going to see eitzes, practical eitzes, if I had to stay focused on that when we're eating. Back on top. V'eitzar misamitz ma'od. And the Yitzhar works very hard. Lashkiach es ha'emes hazos miha'odam. To cause a person to forget this truth. V'menasa kol hazman, and this is the war, that the Yitzhar is continuously trying. Ligrom la'odam lihisachef achre hakisui. For the person to be led after, the covering, the concealment. V'lechol mitoch machshava al ha'ano ha'gashmiz. And to eat with the machshava of ha'ano ha'gashmiz. Of the physical pleasure of eating. Lachshav sha'ochel hu ha'ta'im, that the food is that which is tasty. V'lishkoach ma'ashem esbarach, and to forget the taste of ta'amu v'kitoy v'ashem. Shu'achi yisa'amitis v'makor ha'ana. V'im ha'odim mispata achrav, chalila, and if a person is drawn after the physical taste, I mean, it doesn't mean again that you can't taste it, but you forget where the taste comes from. And that is the chiyus lakus. From other mispata achrav, chelila, azay ha'achila, then the eating, shetafkid lakarvis adam l'Hashem esbarach, the purpose of eating is to bring a person closer to Hashem. Nefeches the davar shemeshakeches Hashem Yisbarach. It becomes something which causes a person to forget Hashem Yisbarach. V'nasez davar shegarim la'adam lahargish oid yoyser. It only causes a person to feel more and more, even more than before. Rak is a dvar magashmi in physical things. Lamentes, footnote Lamentes. Ki klal hu. Sha'anefesh ha-mis'ave. Yesh ba'koach ruchani. L'kasha dover im dover. The nefesh ha-mis'ave, that taiva that we feel, that the nefesh generates that taiva, it has at its base a koach ruchani, a spiritual koach. L'kasha dover im dover, to connect one thing to another. Kolkak yedoylu muflohi ha-taiva. Ad shehi ma'apeches es ha-adam ha-mis'ave. There are many stories. There's a story from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and there are many stories about how the tzaddikim were able to see. Let's say if a person, I mean, it sounds strange, but a person was enjoying a piece of meat, and he was mamish, you know, into the pleasure of eating that meat, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh would give a glimpse of those who were sitting there at the table, would show that person who was the chassid who was sitting over and was having a piece of meat, that he was a cow. And they would see for a second that it was a cow. I don't know if it was a cow that was sitting with a coat and a hat or something, but it was a cow. That koach ha-mis'ave transforms the person into the thing that he's misavei love. You become a cheftza of that taiva. It completely swallows you up. You are transformed by that taiva into a cheftza instead of a gav. You become that thing that you are. Like they say such a thing, you know, you are what you eat, something like that. You become that thing. L'chein im adam toiv la'ezer dvar machal. Therefore, if a person is hungry, he has an appetite for something, and he becomes connected. He's just focused on the Gashmi Shabo. As a koach ta'avos ha'makasheres ha'machaberes ha'sol the Gashmi Shalaklipis. Then that koach ha'taiva that he has, taiva is something that binds two things together. When there's a taiva, it connects two things. It even has in it a little bit of a. Like nisave is a lotion of aniata. It makes one bound to the other, nisave. It connects one with the other. A taiva is something that binds two together. When you have a taiva for something, like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught, if you have a taiva to be in a certain place, then in pnimius you are in that place. A taiva is a davar hamechaber. It binds two things together. So a person has a taiva for a certain food. Then he becomes attached to the Gashmis and to the Klippas. Therefore, when a person tastes something, food, he must pause for a second and think of the Nitzaitz HaLoki, Sheish Bois HaMichel, the Chiyas of Lekus that is in this food. And for a second to try to experience a taiva, a longing, even though we don't know what that means exactly, a longing for the one who is giving me the life that this food is providing me, the one who is giving me that life, the one who is enclosed in the physical food, who is the chiyus of all things, the lokus that's inside of this, to think of Hashem Yisbarach, that is mechaye, is mahaving me this moment. And he gave me this food as a way of, in a loving way, of giving me my life back, of nourishing me and giving me something to. He wants me to continue living and to live with this chiyus, and to remember that. When a person does that, he's mizdabek to lokus. He's attaching himself to lokus. Obviously, the tzaddikim do this in a very, very profound way, but we could do it in a simple way. It takes a second to think, as I said last week, to at least work very, very hard on our brachas to make brachas a very, very big part of our lives, not just to, not just to mumble, but to learn Hilchas brachas carefully, to review Hilchas brachas, and to say the brachas out loud, and to say them carefully, and to repeat each, and to say each word in a very clear way, and to think very, very much about what I'm saying when I'm in this bracha. There was a story I once told you about how there was the tzaddik from Lechovich, Reb Neuchel from Lechovich, and how it was maybe Marcha Lechovich. I don't remember which one of the tzaddikim from Lechovich, but he was sitting in his study, and there was one of the chassidim came, and he had some kind of a terrible problem that he wanted to talk to the rabbi about. And he was standing by the opening of the room, and the rabbi had a cup of water, and he asked the chassid just to wait for a second, and he made a brach, and he had a little bit of a drink, and then he told him to come in. And then the chassid gave the kirtle, and he started crying and talking about everything. And the rabbi was just like shaking his head, and the chassid said, "What is it, rabbi?" And the rabbi said, "You know, you're a wonderful Jew, but you're not like your father. I remember your father." He said, "Well, my father was wonderful. What are you talking about, though?" He said that your father would come, and he would stand by the entrance, and he had much bigger tzaras than you have. And I would make a shahakol niya bidvaro, and when he would hear me say the brach, and he would answer amen, he would say, "I'm okay," and he would go home. And when you hear the word shahakol niya bidvaro, those words, whoever thinks about them, shahakol niya or niya, depending on what your nusach is, shahakol niya bidvaro. So they said that if a person has that machshava shahakol nivadvaro, then what's there to cry about? Shahakol nivadvaro. It's a madrega. Shahakol nivadvaro. But to think about what the words mean, and then to make a proper bracha achrona, usually running and moving and this and that and mumbling the words, but to make a proper, if a person would think of those words, barei nefoshes rabos v'chasvan, akol mashav rosa lahachios b'hem nefesh kol chai. Lachios behem nefesh kol chai. The Divine Shalom is at this second. Lachios behem nefesh kol chai. That's the biggest avodah for people like us with achil. It's not all the lot of kavanis, but it's just the brachas to make clearly and to say the words and to teach our children and each other and to remind a wife, a husband, to say the words of the brachas properly and clearly and to think about what we're saying. Benching could be a project, you know, that everybody's trying to come up with all kinds of nice divrei Torah for the parasha. Person, if you sit and say that this month we're going to talk about benching, and to take every bracha from benching, it to sit and to learn it and go into svarim and to look up and to see how, what does it mean, all the brachas where they come from and what the words mean, to talk about with the children, it would be much more valuable than a vart that they, which is nice, but a vart that they, it comes and it goes. But eating is something that we live with, and the brachas, rishonis, nacharonis, to make the brachas in a good way. Shoch miadli dabi bi nitzos eloki, sheyesh bo samaychol sheyatoy v'mishtoykik achri Hashem's brach, that to try to shift the weight of the taiva over to a taiva to sense, to feel, to remember Hashem. V'kor zeh yedabik b'lokus. And by doing that, the person is mizdabik t'lokus. V'yikolol ba'atzmus yizbaruch shemo. It's like he's eating shemus of Hashem. Tzaddikim had machshavos like that. Like a person is putting on tefillin. Shayad and tefillin shorosh. All the askaris of Hashem's name that are in his tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh. And when a person is eating, to think that he's ki'ilu, he's putting shemus of Hashem's baruch into his mouth. And the shemus become a chelik of who he is. You could even imagine and think in your mind, says in the swamp, to think of the shem havayi baruch, to think of shemus of Hashem that are entering into you and that are becoming part of you, the shemus of Hashem that are in you. V'kumei shakosik v'chelik havayi amai. Yaakov chelik Hashem amai, Yaakov chevel nachel osa, not chelik, right? Chevel nachel osa. Because if a person is thinking, that's where he is. And if you're thinking of Shemus of Hashem as you're taking the food in, and you stop for a moment, and you think of the Shemus of Hashem, and you see this food as being filled with Shemus, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and you imagine in your mind's eye, it's a different thing. And the eating is a time of tremendous aliyah, tremendous dveikus belokus. Back on top. Go home now. When a person who eats like this, meaning without Hashem's bar, Mizgashem Machilasa, he becomes more magushim, he becomes more like the cow, or more like the chicken. He becomes more magushim. Vilibo Miskasa, and the heart becomes more covered. Ba'od kisui, another covering. Shagarim lo, Sheyelo od yosakash, that makes it harder for him, lahargish his metzias Hashem, to feel Hashem's presence in his life. Makes it harder for him. And it goes on beyond the moment of eating. It stays with a person. Shumetzias ruchanis, shetzar zikuch kede lahargish, because in order to feel elokus, a person has to be somebody who is more refined. It used to be by eating, by not eating, or eating very little. But then the ikravod is that a person should eat, but to eat with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to eat with Hashem's Baruch Hu. And that's why, if you look down in footnote Mem, va'idei achila shelo b'kedusha, when a person eats in a way shelo b'kedusha, not in kedusha, on page Chof Tes, when a person eats in a way shelo b'kedusha, miskareres kol avadosa. If a person is wondering, I mean, there could be many reasons for this, but if a person is wondering why he doesn't have a cheshek for davening, and why he doesn't have a cheshek for Shabbos, he doesn't have a cheshek in his learning, the Sfarim tells us that of course there could be many causes, things that he saw, things that are on his mind, but the most likely reason for that is because of his overall Magushim dik estate as a result of eating Shalom B'Kedusha. Of eating Shalom B'Kedusha, it makes a person less sensitive to Elokus. He becomes more like a cow and less of a person. And then over time, it just eating makes a person more Magushim. And he says, and the person is wondering, why am I like a, why when I come to Shul or when I'm trying to daven or something, I'm like a dry piece of wood, like an Eitz Yavish. I don't feel anything. Lo shum lachluchis de kedusha, without the slightest moisture of kedusha, without any feeling of anything when I daven, when I learn. Veino sum alibo, page Lamed in the note, and he doesn't even realize, doesn't pay attention or realize, shekol zebolo. I think he didn't do any aveir, he didn't do anything wrong. He just, what is it, what's the problem? Shekol zebolo machmeshu oisik bin yonim hagashmim, shelo b'kedusha. He's oisik bin yonim hagashmim, eating and other things in his life. Shelo b'kedusha, not in a way of kedusha. And that makes a person less and less refined and less sensitive to ruchnias, to lokus. In other words, he's losing the war. He's losing the Muhammad. And he's less sensitive to Elokus. So to daven, to say a word of Kedusha, when he's learning to be able to think of Hashem as a Baruch, he doesn't feel anything. Ki zelu mazeh, because we know that everything in the world is in a way of zelu mazeh. K'moshe evsha liskos v'lalos hayde achila karoi, the same way that it's possible. I don't have my watches without working, so if you just let me know when it's 10:02, okay? The same way that a person can be zaycha and can achieve great things through achila karoi by eating properly, kach evsha chalila lipol, ayda achila shelo karoi. So too, a person is dragged down by achila, which is shelo karoi. When a person is eating and drinking just because of the taiva, lo l'shem shemayim chas, not l'shem shemayim chas v'sholom. Azei achakach, k'shu bo l'asik b'torah, then afterwards, when he's coming to learn Torah, ho oisik bo l'lo d'vekes v'chiyas v'or. He learns just as a matter of seichel, but not with any chiyas, not with any or, not with any feeling of a sense of elikus. V'gam tfilos onases b'yavshus v'kriyus, and his davening is dry and cold. Libo kosher ke'evan, and his heart is like a stone. Rachmar l'Islam. But koshlo ma'od l'esbal b'kavana. It's very, very hard to daven with kavana. V'lasik b'torah b'cheshek, and the Torah should be with cheshek. Ki ochel shalom b'kedusha, because the eating is always without kedusha, without proper brachas, without consciousness, without ruchnias, without any his gabrus. That's why there are all different aces that the kadmonim had, and you know, to, at least to stop eating before you're entirely, you know, satisfied, which is bias is the opposite, that you're not hungry at all, and you just, something looks good, and you just keep on eating it, which is mamish, a terrible, terrible machla, and what it does to us in Ruchnius, to eat after you're not hungry. To eat after you're not hungry. My father was always a way of ruining, you know, to ruin a kid's appetite. My father would, you know, I would be eating or something, and then I'd pick it up, and my father would say, "Are you hungry?" And I said, "No." So he says, "So why are you eating?" And it's a simple question, but why are you eating if you're not hungry? Just so there was an inyan to stop eating while you're still hungry, and we continue on. We're not hungry. You're not hungry. So why are you eating? Person. We have this joke at the Shabbos table, because nowadays, never used to be this way, but now they're like so many salads, this, and the kids with the dips and all of these things. There's like so much until you get to a piece of kugel. You know, you have like a whole, it's a whole thing until you get to a piece of kugel. And okay, the fish and the soup, and then everybody always says, "No, ma, that's it, I can't. No, it's I'm full. I'm done. I can't." And I always say, yeah, you know. Okay, so I said, so then that's it, let's bench. Everybody's full now, go, whoa, you know. Everybody, but it's not true. After fish and salad and pieces of 10 pieces of challah, and with the dipping in and with everything, this is, for our ancestors, this would have been not one meal, this would have been three Shabbos, four Shabbos before getting to even to a piece of chicken or kugel. This would have chicken, you're a lo yutzlach if you have a piece of chicken. Fancy foods and all kinds of things. This is and the person's not even hungry. Or you go to a chas and things are back in full swing, as you've noticed. And you go to a chas and you're ready, your person had by the smorgasbord, had ready five or six plates of different things, and he's saying this. And then it comes to the meal, and again to put out a full meal, and everybody's sitting there. Who's hungry? Like, I made a joke two Shabbos ago. No, on Yontif, I think it was very late, and I was talking too long, like I always do, and it was getting late, and it was right after the second Seder, right? And I said, "Well, yeah, somebody's hungry. Who's hungry? Nobody's hungry. People are getting nervous about the food. It's a joke, but people are worried about their eating, about their food." It's just by habit. Nobody, you're hungry? Who's hungry? You ate a couple hours ago, you went to sleep, you davened a little bit, and who's hungry? What? Everybody's back standing in line with their plate and the fork and banging the table. We want food. Who's hungry? Who's hungry? Who could be? How could you be hungry? How hungry could a person be? Because he went to sleep a little bit. So how hungry? Or if somebody has like these continental breakfasts and all these, it's not an need of hunger. It's a taiva, and taiva hunger is something else. We shouldn't know from a God forbid really what hunger is, but it's a taiva, and taiva just makes a person more magusha, makes a person more of a magusha. So there's an Indian that a person should stop eating while he's still a little bit hungry. To stop eating while he's still a little bit hungry. It's a taiva. And it has a tremendous effect upon everything that we do in our Avodas Hashem. kosher l'moedlis palbe kavana lasik b'toy b'cheshik kocher shloy b'kedusha. Was chosek gam b'parnosa. And since his davening is a lifeless davening, that affects other things in his life with parnosa and with the children. Ikar parnosa nimshach es me'atfila. Because ikar parnosa and other things that we have in life is nimshach comes to our davening. And it's and our davening is not davening. Ki im adam ena makadish es atzmo klal v'gashmius. So I was mentioning that by the last week by on Sunday by Yosef Tzadik Chabur. that's the beginning of ruchnius. That's the beginning of ruchnius. The melchom is the beginning of ruchnius. Fighting with your instincts, with your physical instincts, putting up a fight with the physical instincts. Which doesn't mean that you don't eat, but it means that you eat b'kedusha with thinking about Hashem, with remembering that there's a Borei Olam, and that this is a chiyus of elokus. That is the beginning of one's of the milchama. That's the beginning of ruchnius. That milchama is the ruchnius. Fighting against gashmius is ruchnius. That's putting up a fight with gashmius is ruchnius. When you feel like saying something. It's the parasha Tazvim. So when you feel like saying a word of Lashon Hara, and it's burning inside of you to say this Lashon Hara, and you fight against it, and you don't say it, so then that's ruchnius. That feeling that you have, that you accomplish something, you won. You captured the elokus. He said to the Mocham al Ivecha, that's eating. On the Son Hashem Mekecha b'yadecha b'shavitz, or you feel like saying a word of Lashon Hara, you feel like doing something that's not right. That his gabrus, that milchama, that you're in the war. Sometimes you lose, but to be in that milchama, to fight against that instinct, that taiva, that's ruchnius, that's spirituality.
Yeah. But even in that.
In the end, your success depends on whether Rabbi Shalom is giving you siyata b'shmei. Right, so we always have to daven this. Whenever you go into war, you have to ask Hashem's help. Yeah, and really, that's part of what a bracha is. To ask for Hashem's baruch's help, b'shas ma'isa. It's il malakas baruch hu oizrei einon liyacholom. If without Hashem's help, we lose. So that comes together with all that we learned over the years in Bilvavi and that consciousness and being in that place that there's a Bari Olam and I'm a Nivra and there's a Bari Olam and remembering and the Baruch Shalom helped me in this Muhammad. That's his Bari Dus. That means living all the time, it's the most important thing, not just that. Living every moment with tefillah and asking Hashem for Siyata Dishmai. When a person is, God forbid, has to go out to war, the person's on the battlefield, every single second is Ati Imadi, Ati Imadi. And if we would live with that consciousness when there's a temptation that's coming from the phone or from the computer or from the Lashon Hara or from something else, a taiva, to see something or to hear something, if we would live with that feeling that it's a Muhammad, that and to be Mizgabra, with a ruach of his gabrus. Our children are watching us to see if we are people that are soldiers, if we're soldiers. They're watching to see if we're people that are indulging or that we're fighters, if we're fighters. That's why every now and then, you know, even what I was saying before about the Shabbos table, you know, that, you know, comedy or making a joke is also a way of making something less important than it really is. It's also a way of making something less important. The eating is such a, you know, it's to make it less important than it is, and to show our children that we're not balei taiva, and to ourselves and our children and our grandchildren that we're not, that we don't have to have everything that we want, that you don't have to have something. You don't have to have something. If the children are growing up in a house where they watch the mother day and night with the Amazon, all day and night, and you don't have to go down to the mall to be a baltaiva. You sit at the table, and you go on the computer, and you're all the time shopping and looking and this and dashing and yonim of gashmis and gusham. And the children are learning that there's no milchama at all. Forget about to win the milchama. There's no Muhammad, there's no Hisgabrus at all. There's no Muhammad at all.
At least now you don't have to go with him.
What?
At least now you don't have to go with him.
You don't have to go?
You don't have to go with him.
You mean to throw his wife to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hashem, I never did that.
Yeah. I understand.
I mean, I can't say I never did. When we were first married, so my mother made a big deal that I went once or twice, and my father heard that my mother told me that, and he said to me, I remember like yesterday, my father said, you never should go shopping with your wife. He heard, because I came, you never go shopping with your wife. And I was freed from that. I was freed from that misery, and my wife was freed from my walking along with her with a carriage, you know. So there's a funny thing, like around 15 years ago, I was giving a whole thing, yelling and screaming about men going shopping with their wife, you know, going to the stores, men going to the stores, and it happened that my wife wasn't feeling well, I don't know, there were no kids around, not any that could drive at that time. I don't know, it was a while ago. And I said, okay, let me, you know, I'll go to the store. I went to the store, just El Trachmanis. And picked when I walk in, I see like one of the biggest yentas in Eish Kodesh. Like when I walk in. Like I walk in the store with a wagon. And he's like, you know, oh my goodness, his eyes lit up. I just mumbled to myself, "My husband should be a kapara." I'm gonna get it. Like, I went. It was the one time in 25 years that I was in the, you know, that I went to the store. But no, you shouldn't be doing that at all. I know it sounds very old fashioned, and so it's one thing to go, of course, if you have to go help your wife to pick up stuff from the store. Of course, you can go help the grocery to pick up and to stop off to get to some things that are needed in the house. But what Binyam Benish is talking about, what I'm talking about, is to go like these tipshim, that they go with their wives to go shopping to stam, like when the wife goes for clothing or to go to stam. Kind of tipish goes like that, walking around in a ladies' clothing store. Tipshim.
It's a gehenim to go to a mall.
It's a gehenim, it's a tipshim. And only a tipish goes voluntarily into gehenim. It's a tipshim. We were going, one of the kids was having Shabbos Shever Brachos. This is something, it was a Shabbos Shever Brachos in Brooklyn. I think it was maybe all the way back when Meir and Binyam were getting married. I don't remember what, that was Brooklyn, and then Shuli and it was a little bit later, so it was probably Shuli and Chumi were getting married, and there was the Ofrev, couldn't be Shever Brachos was here. So the Ofrev was, and we had to get to Brooklyn for Shabbos. And My wife was, she's a tzedekis, but with time, it's a difficult inyan with time with my wife, and I don't even like to drive after chatzais. I don't drive. I try not to drive ever Erev Shabbos after chatzais, just to go to shul, to go to mikvah, but not to go anywhere, and it's like an hour and a half for Shabbos, and I'm ready there with my shtreimel box and everything, and I'm standing by the door ready and. It's a guy, and it's like, it's not going. And this dress is not good, and this one's out, I can't, there's that one, there's different things. And so she bought, no, my wife had bought this new dress for the Simcha. She bought, there used to be a store not far from here, Lohmann's, a lady's dress.
Lohmann.
And they have on it, she couldn't open the thing, there was like a tag, something, I don't know what it was, like a clip. And you can't get off this clip.
A security thing.
Yeah. I never saw security.
They have to take it off before they.
And for some reason, it went through the security with this clip on it. And she couldn't wear the dress, but she had a heart set, and this was the dress she bought for the Simcha. And it was like an hour and a half before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And we have to get to Flatbush. And she says she was too busy with this kid and that, and different things. She said, please go to the Lohmann and go to the store over there and tell them to take this clip off. I said, yeah. This is like the hardest mission I ever had in my life. But she didn't like, she was just like running. She threw it, you get to law. I said, but she said, just go to the store and get the clip off. So I go to the store. And I'm wearing it ready, you know, I'm wearing my Bekesh ready. And I go to the store and I walk in there and I was shocked. The place had like, from women were shopping. An hour and a half before Shabbos. There were a bunch of like from ladies. They were shopping there right before Shabbos. And there was a whole melacha, by the way, the business with the clip. It was a whole malacha. Until, you know, we just made it. I thought we just made it for Shabbos. I was thinking that, you know, that this whole sugya of shopping, when it becomes for our ancestors, it was a necessity, and it becomes a pastime, it becomes something that gives a person chiyus. It's a way of living. It's all of these are, you know, for a woman that's a very, very big taiva. Say that we're happy that they could afford it, and if we could afford that they should have good things, and it's nice. But a person becomes, you become more and more, you become less and less sensitive to ruchnius. That's just the metzius of life. You become less sensitive to ruchnius. Kim odem ein makadesh asma plow, the bottom on the page lama, the bottom right side. Kim odem ein makadesh es atzmo klal begashmis v'nasa davar eslo kehefke lagamrei. But a person doesn't work on this at all, and he becomes kehefke lagamrei. He becomes like hefke. V'nena mihai alma shuv v'shuv. It doesn't even, this sounds like, you know, there's all that we're learning, sounds like something very extreme. And he just look, I'm not doing any aveira. I'm grateful I'm not doing any aveiras. The food that I'm eating is kosher. You know how many people have called me over the past year since this started? There's this very popular eating place on Rockaway.
Chimcher.
Yeah, very popular. And there was an issue with the Vadakashas, which I spoke already a few times to my friend there who runs the Vadakashas, and it's still in effect. Other rabbis, there are more problems with the entire. I don't know what's going on. I'm not anymore. I did 1 year on the, because every rabbi has to do some time, and I did my year, and I'm not involved in it. I'm just hoping that everything is okay. And I was told it's still in effect. And people are calling me about this restaurant, about this place. You have to find something to do. I was there telling you, can you do something about this? Can you do something about this? I said, what do you want me to do? I don't know. Can you have an influence over the, you know, the VAD, to talk to somebody that it should be changed and with the certification? I said, I don't know how to, there are other places to eat. I don't know, go to somewhere else. Central Avenue, every Dalai Lama's, there's another place to eat, but you have to go to this place to eat. You don't understand. this is the place. And by the way, you should know, they tell me everybody's eating there anyway. And so you said that you signed the letter and everybody's eating there anyway. So go somewhere else to eat. We're not chas v'shalom, lo chaser. There's a lack of places to eat. We don't have a place to go eat. That if they're rabbanim, I don't know, there are like 50 rabbanim, 60 rabbanim that signed the letter. So then you have people say, I was at a simcha, and some guy came over from one of the local shuls, and he said, "You're another one of the guys that signed." That's what he said. That lashon. You're another one of the guys that signed on the letter with the restaurant. At first, I didn't know what he was talking about. He just said, "You're another one of the guys that signed." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You signed against the restaurant." I said, "Yeah." So he said, "This is all baloney with the rabbis and making." He was making fun that it's all politics and it's all money. He said, I don't know what you're talking about with the politics of money, but he was angry, like angry. And while he was saying, he was holding a plate of food in his hand when he was saying this, you know, from the, he obviously, it's important to him what he's eating, and he was all upset. How come I signed on to this thing? You guys, like the rabbis, and they sit at the Shabbos table, and can you imagine kids hearing these kind of dibur? Children hear these kind of dibur about the rabbanim, and that the kashrus is all corrupt, and it's all crooked, and it's all kinds of, it's not. The Rabbi Eisen from the Vadakasha said, it's hard to give a yid. I know him for 40 years. It's hard to give a yid. And they're making all kinds of things and saying things. It's the Lashon Hara and the Achilas. But the point is that you can't manage without that. There are 30, 40 restaurants. You're not able to survive without. No, this is the best one. This is the best one. They have my favorite thing. A Jew talks that way. It's that. It's hefker. That's what he's saying. Then mahay alma shuv v'shuv, just to shuv v'shuv, to indulge in this world like that. Lo mishtadlo klal. that a person doesn't have a, he's not in the war at all. There's no milchama at all. There's no milchama at all. A person's ready to go to sleep. He feels a little bit of a tive or something. He'll put on his robe and he'll go down to the kitchen and he'll go looking for a pizza to have a snack. There's no milchama at all. Shachilos atir b'kedusha v'tahara. When it comes to tanugim and gashmiyos, as bevade rocha kadavish yuchaliskos lo ha'toyrav, it's Hashem's Torah. If it's interesting, because really, there's never been a time in the history of Klai Yisrael that there's been so much learning of Torah. There's more Torah being learned now than ever before in the history of the Jewish people. It's unbelievable. It used to be you had Talmidei Chachamim, and they were sitting and learning. And you had the Hamoinam that they came out, didn't open up a Mishnayis or a Sefer. It was very, even. And now you have, Baruch Hashem, so much learning. So you would think of this, K'nai Nahar was so much learning that there would be so much more Yir Shamayim. So much more Yir Shamayim, and Dveikas Bashem, and so. And no, I don't, it's not that, it's not going with the hours of learning. It's strange. It's a very strange thing. There's never been so much learning like there is now. But it used to be that a poshut diyid had more Yir Shamayim than a person now that he's been through his third, you know, Siyum Hadaf, Siyum Hashas, and his grandfather never made a Siyum HaMishnayis, and because the grandfather didn't have a party by the Siyum like this guy has, because it doesn't go together, all the learning that you do, it doesn't seep in. If you're a cow, it just doesn't get into a cow. You'd think it would bring more Yir Shamayim. There'd be more Yir Shamayim. More Yir Shamayim. More emunah. More Yir Shamayim. More bitachon. You see what happened this past year with the bitachon. It's like nothing. People are psychotic with the COVID. Psychotic. With no Yir Shamayim. No emunah. No bitachon. Nothing. Screaming and yelling and carrying on. And then the next day you make a Siyum HaShas. What did the Shas do to you? What did that? Where's Yir Shamayim? Learning Torah is supposed to make a person to Yir Shamayim, to a Baal Bitochen, to Baal Amuna, to live with Amuna, to live with Bitochen. Again, it has nothing to do with, I always say this because you never know this can be, not yet, even though I know it's none of you, but someone that's going to listen, some nut is going to say, oh, he's saying that, you know, he's makel on wearing masks, and this guy's going to, you know, somehow hear that I said that, and while he's driving, you know, while he's driving the Canadian Rockies, he's going to, with his mask on, he's going to be screaming and listening to a tape or something. It's not about being careful. It's about being nuts, being psychotic. It's a psychosis at this point. It's a complete psychosis. Talk about politics and money. It's all politics and it's all money. That's what this is at this point. It was very scary last year at this time. But now, it's politics and money and insecurities and insanities. That's what it's about at this point. That's what it's about. Where's the bitachon? Where's the emunah that comes from? All of the Torah learning. You're advertising your shul. You have 45 shiurim. You have this going on and that going on. And you have every Shabbos, there's a scholar in residence. I didn't know there's so many scholars, but in residence, every Saturday, there's a scholar in residence. Scholar in residence, this one, scholar in residence, more lectures, more shiurim, everything fancy. And the guy, if he sees somebody that the mask slipped off his nose, he breaks down and cries and he calls the police. Not in shul, I'm saying when it's across the street. He's having a nervous breakdown. What happened to Emunah B'Tochen? What happened to a little bit of Elokus, a little bit something? I'm not talking about the people, the other extreme, the Stam being careless and silly. And I'm not talking about any of that. I'm not talking about the sensitivities and being nice because this person gets nervous. Yeah, but a person's never a Meshigan or if he's nervous. You have to try to make him that he shouldn't be so nervous. You try not to scare him. But all that stuff. But I'm talking about the Indian that I'm going to be talking. The whole year is making me crazy. Like, that's why all the talks I was giving on this Nakuda. Like, what happened to everybody? Here we were tested. This is a test. Seriously, our parents and grandparents laugh at this. I mean, certainly anybody that grew up not in America and went through stuff, they laugh. This is a test. This is a big test. Just like chimchiri. Chimchiri is a test. Chimchiri is a big test. you don't know what I'm going through. You have no idea what I'm going through. What is it? What happened? The rabbis signed, the lying, political, money-hungry rabbis, they signed a letter against Chimshiri. This is a nisayon of our generation. This is a big nisayon in our generation. How not to go to Chimshiri. If God could do that to me, I don't know if I can continue on with him. If God could take Chimshiri away from me, I don't think I could put on film tomorrow. Because if there would really be a God, I would be having Chimshiri tonight for supper. Wow, these are the nisayonis of the five towns. Big nisayonis of the five towns. There are people down the block who this one died during COVID and lost, and the kid is in Nebuch is sick, and this one has all kinds of tzaras, and your nisayon is Chimshiri. everything is a v'nahafa. What happened to him? What are we talking? And with all of the learning and all of the lectures and all of the Yimei'iyun and all of the seminars and all of the scholars and residents and everything and all of this stuff that's going on, there's never been so much Torah learning that's going on. And all the fancy titles to the fancy learning sessions, all the lectures and everything like that, he sits there crying when he sees it, when he can't live without his Chimshiri. So what is it? So what's wrong with us? What happened? The Torah says, a cow doesn't feel this, doesn't have emunah. A cow doesn't feel emunah b'tochen. It's the cow. You're a smart cow. You're a cow that learns, but you're a cow. You're a cow that enjoys a blood gemara, but you're still a cow. And then you're an intelligent cow and you enjoy the discussion, but as far as your shemaim is concerned, as far as I'm going to be talking, it's just a complete insensitivity to elokus. There's no rebbeinu shalom. There's kilu. There's no rebbeinu shalom. Kilu rebbeinu shalom doesn't exist. Chas v'shalom. This is the long-term effects of a life without God, a life without a bracha, a life without consciousness of elokus in your physical existence. It becomes just physical. And how do you have a munah? How do you have bitachon in such a way? Oh, that's right. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll continue next time.